Hello and welcome to another short three inning save podcast. It is going to be a short one, even though there's apparently a lot to talk about.
I would say we're going to bet the under on the episode time on this one.
I told myself I wouldn't make any bet jokes, so yeah. You did it for me. Yeah, the game was played with doing. I'm not going to be 26 runs scored. Mm-hmm. the Dodgers did not come out on top. So we're gonna talk about the game. We'll talk about, I think, briefly the news that broke regarding Shohei Ohtani. Is that fair to say? We'll give it a minute, then we'll move on.
Yeah, we'll tease it, and then we're gonna, I'm sure, in a future episode, we're gonna go deeper into it. Just very early right now.
It's very early in the story. It's very early for both of us. We're both very tired, but we're going to do our normal record on the weekend, so we'll have more there. But for now, let's do a little bit of business and then talk about the game.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So where do you want to start?
let's just get this out of the way first. The Dodgers' next game is the Freeway Series. It's an exhibition game. Spring training again. We're back in spring training.
So weird.
Okay, so we recorded in the morning on Wednesday for us, right after the Dodgers game, which was earlier in the morning. And, then went about our ways. And then later in the afternoon, let's get the timing of this. LA Times had the first story out. They were running an investigation into an Orange County bookmaker who was being investigated by federal authorities. And I guess within that investigation, Shohei Ohtani's name came up. So that's where he's on the radar. And then let's just paint the timeline. The story comes out in the LA Times. Shohei Ohtani's attorneys issued a statement saying there was massive theft. I believe within the context was very clear who they were talking about, but they didn't name Ipe Mizuhara, Ohtani's interpreter, by name. But they're saying Ohtani's been defrauded, this massive theft. And then a little bit later in the day, I want to say within an hour, ESPN with Tisha Thompson had a even more comprehensive story, including a 90-minute interview with Ipe Mizuhara on Tuesday night. So just to get this out of the way first, it involves, for the ESPN story, at least $4.5 million in payments to this Orange County bookmaker, who is an illegal bookmaker. It's not, you know, there's always the, like, gambling is illegal in California. So, like, unless you're, you know, unless you're doing, like, DraftKings or something, right? Like, which is, that's the, another layer we don't have to get into. But I'm just saying, just point out where we are, right? Like, so the weird part, I'm just going to, a portion of the ESPN story. So the Tuesday interview that was arranged by an Otani spokesman, per the ESPN story, and then Ipe's story was that Shohei Ohtani was helping clear his gambling debts, which were $4.5 million apparently over the last like 2+ years. And then by Wednesday afternoon, I'm going to directly quote from Tisha Thompson's story on ESPN, quote, "But on Wednesday afternoon, Mizuhara told ESPN that Ohtani had no knowledge of his gambling debts and that Ohtani had not transferred money to the bookmaker's associate." So something changed there. The further reporting, as it came out like during the second game in Seoul, from both Jack Harris at the LA Times and Fabian Ardaya at The Athletic, it was reported multiple places that Ipe addressed the Dodgers, like in the clubhouse on Thursday, and I believe like owner Mark Walter was in there saying, "Cast," like everyone is in the team is like there, right? Like, so like it was like a pretty massive meeting and like basically apologies. And the way Harris and Ardaya framed it in their stories was that the story that Ipe told the clubhouse was essentially the Ohtani's helping me out, you know, he's my friend, like I'm very sorry, like, you know, very contrite and all this. But anyway, the Dodgers fired Ipe Mizuhara on Wednesday, or no, yeah, Wednesday.
So Wednesday, we were recording somewhere.
Thursday. Yeah, it was Wednesday somewhere. So, and you know, so there's that. And then my question: so was Ohtani like not in the clubhouse when he's addressing the clubhouse? Because like, because everything that comes out since basically Ohtani saying no, he didn't have any knowledge. So is like, yeah. I'm thinking Ohtani couldn't have been in the clubhouse during that meeting, because he would have been like, "Hey, whoa, wait a minute, like what are you talking about?" Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much that what is probably bound to come out during further investigation is why are there discrepancies here?
Yeah. And is this just stone cold like complete fabrication on the lawyer's part? We said we wouldn't talk about this, and here we are.
I think we're setting the stage, right? Yeah. Like, so right now, I just want to point out. So, Fabian Ardaya's story at The Athletic, Jack Harris at the LA Times, the ESPN story. There was one other story who I don't remember from where, but all of them are saying, as of now, MLB has no plans to investigate. But I think part of that is because they're kind of waiting on the federal investigation into the Orange County bookmaker. And I'm sure if more evidence is forthcoming, you would see a situation where potentially, depending on what they find, like that's where MLB could step in and be like, okay, Ohtani could be on administrative leave while we investigate, that sort of a thing. Now, I want to point out, like, MLB rules state you cannot bet on baseball. And you could be banned for that. I guess in all this reporting, I guess it doesn't look like Ipe bet on baseball at all. But the problem is, in the ESPN report, there's at least 2 wire transfers from Ohtani's bank account to the bookmaker. And that's where the rub would be, because there is a rule. But the punishment is like commissioner's discretion at that. So it's like, it's this real, real
the commissioner's
area.
Discretion. Shohei's really good. So.
Right. He's like, most popular player. So like there's that element too, which is all of this is unsavory at best. And like, you know, potentially worse.
Speaking of unsavory.
Oh, that's a good transition. Yeah, but I just want to point out. So we don't know. We just don't know enough yet.
Yeah.
But I'm sure more will come out. But that's where we're at. Like, the Dodgers don't play another game that counts for another week. So potentially after mulling it over, after this, you know, the Seoul series is over and like all the spotlight, maybe that's when MLB could be like, you know what? Maybe we found out more or whatever. We don't know. But that's where we're at now. So that's a black cloud like hanging over the Dodgers as we speak.
Speaking of a black cloud hanging over the Dodgers as we speak, Yamamoto had his debut. It did not go well. I can't recall the last time I've wanted a player of the Dodgers to like be good. And I don't know. I'm not exactly sure why.
This just in, Jacob Burts doesn't root for Dodgers
to be good. What I mean.
I know, I'm just kidding.
There's just something about his stuff and the sort of the weird way he throws and the unusual timing of when he's become a major leaguer and the anticipation. I'm really rooting for him. And it didn't look good.
Yeah, it was like, he was just off. Like, he hit his second batter, or first pitch single, hit his second batter, and it was just first four reached. He allowed 5 runs in the first inning, and was allowed to finish the first inning, and despite throwing 43 pitches, and it was just like, but that was clearly as long as he was going to go. Like, I don't know why they didn't pull him, like, 2 batters or maybe 3 earlier.
18 strikeouts per 9 inning.
You know what? I stand corrected. What a great debut.
It's all so, Babbitt.
But also, that game was weird as hell.
Wow, I can't talk. It's early. Yeah. Have I mentioned that? After that, you're like, well, here's the storyline of the game. And it still is a big component of the game. And the story of the game, but so much other stuff happened. And the story turned into Dodgers get really close to tying or taking the lead and they fall back behind.
Yeah, I think we should talk more about the game, but let's do it after the break.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Okay, so let's talk about the game. As mentioned, 5 runs tagged Yamamoto at the top of the first, and then a whole lot of, you know, we still have 21 runs to get to. So
the Dodgers are down 5-0 before they batted, right? So they were the home team in this one. So they're down 5 runs early, again, before they batted. They got the tying run to the plate by the second inning. And I was just like, what? Now they left the bases loaded that inning, or it was either 2 or 3 in that. There were just a lot of chances. They had the tying run come up in the 4th, and then in the 7th, and then in the 8th. And that, like, it was just all like this long comeback. During the Sportsnet LA broadcast, Joe Davis brought this up. I do not possess the capacity to know how to search for comebacks by a certain run thing. I don't have that. I don't know how to do that on Baseball Reference, right? Like, basically, and like what they were talking about, I think the Dodgers have had, I think it was either 6 or 7 total times where they've come back in a game, they trailed by 7. I just want to point out, so in addition to 5-0, they were down 9-2 after the top of the 3rd. So that would have been the marker. And I think the last time they came back from something that big was in 1950. So it was going to be an uphill climb, and it was. Plus, their starter. Now, in a normal situation, your starter going one inning, it like messes you up for like half a week at least, because you have to scramble and fill pitchers and all that kind of stuff. Then your bullpen side. This is like probably the best possible situation to do that in, because they had 11 like relief pitchers at the ready, or at least of the way they were being used for this 2-game series. So it wasn't like crippling in that regard, although like pretty much none of the pitchers who came in were that good. Like, or they didn't do. Kyle Hurt did okay. He gave up a run in 2 innings, but Michael Grove gave up like the 4 runs in his second inning in the 3rd, and then that's what put him down 9-2. But yeah, they just kept coming back and coming back. Like Mookie Betts was great. 4 hits. He had a double that almost went out, and I think it ended up driving in 2.
Yeah.
Then he hit one like to the same spot, but probably like 30 feet further or whatever, for a home run. That was the first home run of the season. Not the last so far. And that drove in two. And then he was also the one who singled in two in the eighth. So he had six RBIs.
And two of that, and a lot, and this was true of yesterday's game as well. A lot of outs that you off the bat, you're like, oh, double, home run, double.
Yeah. Otani, in fact, like, oh, I think he had like a 100-something mile an hour single, but then like two flyouts, like right to the wall in right center, including one on essentially like an all arm off balance swing.
Yeah.
And it's like, that should not be possible. And it was just kind of wild. But then also, like, you know, in a game like this, right, where it's the sloppiest game because there's so many runs and you think, oh, we're going to come back. But then, you know, like little things like in the 5-run first, there's a play. It was a hard hit grounder, but like a catchable grounder that was called fair somehow, even though it was way, like, pretty foul. Like, you know, let's assume it's maybe it clipped whatever the smallest sliver of it went over the third base to say it was fair. That said, Max Muncy should at least knock the ball down with his glove. Did not touch it. It goes by him for a run-scoring single to, like, sort of make the inning worse. And then Muncy also that he was not called for an error on that. He was called for two more errors because he did not have a good fielding game. So, you know, it was just little things like that. Will Smith had four hits. He did well. So the funniest part, we talked all like yesterday how the Dodgers were like 0 for their first 14 with runners on base, but they kept like putting runners on base and they did that today and they scored it was just funny. So they didn't get retired 1-2-3 until the ninth on Thursday. So in the entire series, but so that the Mookie Betts 2-run single in the eighth made it 12-11. So at that point you're like, well, that's the comeback still in grasp, and then JP Fireisen allowed like two runners to reach, and Manny Machado obliterated a ball. Yeah, like the whole game, we're like, man, what does it take to hit a ball out of this park? He's like, oh, that, like, yeah. that ball would have been out of that park twice. Like it was crushed, and so, yeah, that made it the final score, 15-11. I was looking up. The Dodgers have never won a game exactly 15-11. They did lose one other game 15-11. It was in 1972 to the – yep, I still have it up. 1972 to the Astros. In the Astrodome, no less. What a weird place to do that. But, yeah, that's kind of it. Like, I don't know what else to say.
Do you have any other takeaways? I think offense, we can kind of speak to the same thing as yesterday. It's just super deep. Seems really good. You know,
Gavin Lux has been hitting the ball well,
mm-hmm.
I think. A lot of line drives and looked
good at second. Like,
yeah, right. No question. And, Mookie Betts had a couple of nice plays. Oh, there was a weird thing. So I'm blacked out of the ESPN broadcast because it's for this series, it's not available in the local markets.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw people talking. They interviewed Teoscar Hernandez, like, when he's in the field, you know, that kind of thing. But I guess they, like, kept asking about some weird thing, like, three different times during the inning. And Teoscar's like, okay, like, you know, like, you know, let's get this over with, kind of a thing. I did not hear it, but I just heard complaints about that. But that's about it. Like, that was pretty much it. But it's, I think the big takeaway is we don't have to get up at 3 a.m. or 5 a.m. to watch baseball for a while.
I would have told you no thanks. If this was a three-game series, we're not doing three episodes.
So they had an exhibition game Monday and then the two games Wednesday and Thursday that were all at 3 a.m. Pacific. I failed miserably in attempting to sleep ahead of time of the Monday game. I tried a different route for Wednesday's opener, and I similarly failed miserably, except I did manage to sneak in like about almost a 90-minute nap right before game time.
Okay.
So that helped. This time I had two longer stretches, like 2+ hours, but like since like, I don't know, like maybe since noon Wednesday, I've just been in this weird space of like trying to get pockets of sleep, and I'm like, I think I was like gradually getting better, but I'm happy to not have to try that for a while. So that's about it.
So let's just kind of glance ahead. We've got the Freeway series. How does that break down times? Where
they don't play till Sunday. So there, I think the plane, the Dodgers plane, is supposed to leave roughly half hour from now. I think they're leaving at midnight local, so they'll be back in Southern California probably super late Thursday night. But so they'll have two full days to basically recover sleep wise, and then so there's Sunday and Monday are the Freeway series at Dodger Stadium. Tuesday is in Anaheim, and then Wednesday is the off day, and then it's opening day at home against the Cardinals.
I'm just confirming real quick that Sunday, Monday, the Freeway series games are all roughly in the evening. And then, after a bunch of 3 a.m. Pacific games, I'm like, I need to make sure this is normal. Opening day is in the afternoon, so it'll be lunch baseball for you. It'll be dinner baseball for me.
You have it's tea time for you, I believe.
And then real baseball will occur. I guess this was real baseball will restart, and it'll be in LA. We'll be all excited. We're gonna record this weekend for a season preview.
We'll have a little bit more. So the Dodgers will have to make by next Thursday three roster moves, because Bobby Miller, Gavin Stone, James Paxton were technically not active. So essentially three of the relievers are getting optioned by next week. But we'll talk about all that kind of stuff leading into it and what's ahead. I don't know by Saturday if we're going to have I don't think necessarily we're going to have more Otani information by then. But certainly by next week, maybe we'll have more. We certainly won't have comments from anyone on the Dodgers regarding Otani, because there's not going to be really much of anything until Sunday at Dodger Stadium. And even then, I don't expect them to say much. Maybe closer to opening day, we could figure out like where MLB is on this and like how it's going to go. There's a lot of unknown here. I'm sure we'll talk about this as we get more, but that's it for now. The Dodgers have played two games that count. Home teams are winless so far in 2024 in baseball. So, that's something.
And will be for a whole week.
Yeah, exactly. This is the 3-inning save podcast. For the next few days, we're going to be the catching up on sleep podcast, and we'll be back to you much more rested in our next episode. But thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again in a few days.
Good one, Eric.